The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch, on the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, Raider Nation, it's been a minute since The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch, was a celebration, but it is a celebration today. Eddie Pascal here in the podcast studio at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center with DJ Duffel himself, Bryce Butler, all the way from Phoenix, Arizona, traded a desert for a desert. And Bryce, the Raiders win today, 22-16, a game that was anything but boring as the Silver and Black handled business in overtime. First of all, it's fantastic to see you.
Oh, we're back.
We are super back.
We're back.
It's nice to have you in the studio. It's good to feel the energy. And today, Bryce, we felt an energy from the Raiders that I think, candidly, we haven't seen in a few weeks. We see the big dogs do their thing. And that, I think, let's begin there. That's where I want to start with. You come into a game, the Raiders having lost three games in a row, in dire need of a W. In a game like this, you need your best players to show out. You need your Derek Carrs to do their thing. You need your Max Crosbys. And that's exactly what happened. Derek Carr, big game. Max Crosby, big game. Davante Adams, big game. Josh Jacobs, another huge game. I mean, what does it say about the core of this Raiders team that when this group needed a W, they went to the big dogs?
I mean, you always want to be able to give your best when your best is needed. And when that happens, it always comes down to your best players. Derek Carr, tried and true. I think he's had the most like fourth quarter comebacks or something like that in history.
Look at you, man. So here it is. Here's the stat that NFL Research put out literally a couple minutes before we started rolling. So the Raiders won today 22-16 in overtime on a game-winning pass from Derek Carr.
Yes.
Carr is now 8-2 in his career in overtime games. The best winning percentage by any quarterback with 10-plus overtime games in their career.
That is crazy. I mean, that just shows you the pedigree right there, man. I mean, he comes from a family of just ballers, right? And, I mean, when it comes down to a big moment like that, Derek's always ready. Shout out to Devontae for just continuously grinding week in and week out, just keeping his foot down on the necks of everybody that's trying to say Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the league. You know, I kind of had some questions last week after watching Justin Jefferson ball. Devontae was like, hold on, B, I'm going to put my foot on your neck one more week. And he did that today. So now I'm choking on my Justin Jefferson speech because Davante Adams is still that guy, and he proved it this week. I mean, Patrick Surtain, like, was nowhere to be found when Devontae was catching the ball, which was ridiculous. Obviously, we know Josh Jacobs is going to ball. Max Crosby's an animal. I mean, if we can just get this is my takeaway from the game, Eddie.
Yeah.
If we can just get two other guys on both sides of the ball that we can call for when we need them in dire situations more frequently, more consistently, I think we'll be, you know, a team that can compete with anybody, because there's going to be a time when we play a team that might be able to eliminate Josh, might be able to eliminate Devontae, might be able to, like, you know, put a lot of pressure on Derek and you know, make the game muddy for him. So we need, you know, other guys that we can call on in the secondary, especially in the secondary. I mean, we allowed Russell Wilson to look like a good quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson hasn't looked like a good quarterback all year.
I'm with you. And I think you bring up a great point with that complimentary help, Bryce, because we look at Josh's line today, Josh Jacobs, just running the ball, 109 yards, no touchdowns, but he's averaging 4.5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
You know who was second on the team in rushing today?
Who, dog?
No one. Because
That's
no
crazy.
Raider ran the ball that wasn't Josh Jacobs. And to your point, there are going to be days, there are going to be weeks, and we've seen it this year, where teams take away whoever it is, Josh, Devontae, Darren Waller, when he's out there healthy, they take someone away, and you need to have that complimentary help. Now, today, thankfully, it doesn't come back and bite the Raiders.
Right.
But you need to have another back. You need to have another receiver that can come in when those guys are getting their, you know, getting defenses are paying a lot of attention to them,
right,
and can take advantage of the opportunities.
100%, especially going forward. I mean, our schedule looks pretty dense coming forward, and those teams are going to have some game plans and some strategies to stop our best players. So, you know, I don't know if it's a player having to step up in practice or a coach having to, you know, just have more trust in an Amir, Brandon Bolden. Today, I don't know what the Sorry. I don't know what was going on between Derek and Mac. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like a lot of miscues.
And we heard that on the broadcast, too, where they said they just, for some reason or another, it just looked like it wasn't necessarily in sync. And you look at what Mac has done this year. Mac's having a career year, right?
Yeah, right.
Mac has gotten a ton of opportunities for good reason here in Las Vegas, and he's made the most of them. But today, it was just something kind of off. And we were talking about it in the studio earlier, like, what do you think, obviously not having been in that room or knowing exactly the intricacies of this offense, but like what leads to those kind of off moments, off games?
I mean, I think really it's like the mental discipline, like the fortitude to just stay locked in. I mean, it's a long season. Mm-hmm. I've been on a team with the same uniform and you're 0-10 to start a season, or you're 3-11 going into the end of the year. And it's really easy to fall back into that, oh, like, I'm not really the guy. Like, they're not mm-hmm. really, like, you know, looking for me to make big plays all the time. Like, I can kind of lax this week. You know, those are the differences between a guy like, you know, Davante Adams and a Mac Hollins, right? Like, Devontae is always like, I'm getting the ball. You need to give me the ball. Like, I'm ready for the ball to come. And then another guy that, you know, he likes to make plays, but maybe doesn't always want to be counted on when it comes down to the end of the game or, you know, when it comes down to a big play. So I just think it just comes down to discipline throughout the season to stay consistent.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about those complimentary pieces where Devontae has a huge game, right? Devontae finishes with, let me check real quick, 141 and 2 touchdowns. Mac Hollins, your next leading receiver, down at 52, right? Mm-hmm. Keelan Cole finishes his afternoon with 1 catch for 21 yards, an important catch and an mm-hmm. important 21 yards. But you look at kind of just how top-heavy that receiver room is today. Right. And I think that when we come into the season, right, we thought it was going to be this complete room. Devontae was going to be there. Hunter Renfro was going to be there. Waller, for a lot of purposes, we consider as a wide receiver. Yeah. Mac Hollins, a great depth piece. And it hasn't really worked that way in 2022. And we see that it kind of bear out today. But when you have a guy like Davante Adams, Duffel, a dude who was like, you were talking about it earlier, like, one has said, hey, dude, I'm still here, Bryce. Don't sleep on me. Like, when we were watching the game today, when you look at how he goes about business, what makes him so effective? Because if you're a defensive coordinator, and I'm certainly not the best football mind out there, but I know if I'm a defensive coordinator playing the Raiders, I got to figure out a way to stop 17.
Yeah.
And they couldn't figure out a way to stop 17. No. And this is one of the best statistical defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, this is the positive side on the Denver side, right? You got a guy like Pat Surtain, who, since he's came in from Alabama, he's been strapping everybody up. And so they believe that Pat Surtain can stop 1-7. And today they lost. And, you can see it. Like, they tried to continue to keep him on him, and they lost. Now, I feel like the big post that he caught earlier in the game, I feel like that wasn't like man-to-man pat on Devontae.
We were talking about that. Yeah, I think he was looking for safety help, you think,
that
right?
Looked like some type, like, I don't want to say 22-man, because typically 22-man is when the defense, the corner plays inside, lets you just free release, kind of trails you, and he undercuts anything if you break out. If you keep going down the field, the safety handles it. He was outside and let Devontae through, and then was playing trail, which was weird. And then he just ran the post, and the safety wasn't there. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we look at that and we say, you know, that looked like it was on Pat. I don't know if it was. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Davante Adams was taking care of business when it came to number two on the other side. And the Denver Broncos, I feel like, believed that they can go man-to-man on him all game, and it didn't work today.
How much of a kind of fine line is it for Derek to kind of straddle, where a guy like Devontae, he needs his touches, right? Like, he's been really open and honest about that. Like, yo, like, I need to get my – and not in like a diva type way, just in a reality way. Like, you brought me here for a reason. I need to see the ball at a certain clip, right? But how hard is that to kind of feed him to make sure that your biggest, baddest dog is getting his opportunities, but you also don't become predictable in that? You know what I mean? Because you see some throws where we were watching, you're like, Derek's looking at 17 – and that's the only place he's looking.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it happens like that, man. If you're in a situation where, you know, you're just out of sync with Mac Hollins, you know, you can't get the ball to Keelan Cole, or he's not coming up with a big play down the field when he should be coming up with a play, I mean, what would you do if you're Derek? Like, I know if I'm going to 17, most of the times he's going to be open.
Yeah.
And then he's going to come up with the play 9 times out of 10. If he doesn't, I'm probably going to get a penalty. Today, you know, Devontae wasn't getting the penalties that he believed that he should have got. That's why he got the 15-yard unsportsmanlike. But most of the times he's going to get those calls, but they were in Denver. It's a rivalry week as well, right? But, I mean, you can't fault him. You know, Renfro's not there. Waller's not there. And if I have a day where most of the game I can't get Mac, who's my next guy, like he caught a lot of his balls at the end of the game.
A lot of fourth quarter
passes. Not going to say he was patting stats because obviously they all meant something because it was a real game.
100%. 100%. But, and like, getting into field goal range in that 2 minutes. Yep.
Exactly. So, but like the first 3.5 quarters, like they were just out of sync. So I got to go to 1-7. I mean, he's my bread and butter, and he's open. It would be one thing if it was like they had 4 guys on him, and it was just like, bro, what are you doing? But it wasn't like that today.
You know, and I want to talk about the defense here in a sec, but before we shift to that side of the ball, Bryce, I think today, and you and I have talked about this, it's kind of been a theme for a lot of the guys that we've had come into the studio this year post-game. For better or for worse, and today certainly for better, you see a formula for when the Raiders are successful, particularly on offense. It's feed Josh. Get Josh cooking, and everything kind of works off that, particularly Devontae Adams and Derek and kind of finding that, I don't want to say second tier of offense, but mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs has been the engine of this offense in 2022. Yeah. It's been a few weeks since we've seen it like that. If Josh finishes his day again today, we were talking about earlier, 24 rushes, 109 yards, also chips in a big way in the receiving game, 3 catches for 51. Like
big play at the end of the game.
Huge play at the end of the game. But like, As a team, as an offense, like to kind of shift back to locker room, Bryce, like it's got to feel good for a group of guys when you've seen what you can do and you've had success doing it, and then you can come and replicate it again after going away from it for a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you remember what I said the first week I was here when we played against the Cardinals and had that traumatic loss early in the year. I was wondering, like, why did we go away from Josh Jacobs? And I knew by watching us play, like, we were going to be a better team if we could just stick to the run first. And when you watch our offense click, when the offense goes through 28, the offense is better. When it goes to 28, the offense is better. If you give him the ball and you know he's getting his touches, like you said, I mean, I'm a broken record. You're a broken record. You get 28 the ball, 17 can get the ball. You get 17 the ball, then 10 can get the ball. When Hunter and all of them are here, they can get the ball.
But
then,
all of that is predicated on running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage.
You got to control. I mean, this game, at the end of the day, if you want anything to grow, you got to plant something and you got to water it. The Oakland Raiders and the rest of the NFL, if you want to be good, you got to run the ball.
That's it. 100%. That's it. You got to be able to run the ball. I am curious, too, though, Bryce, from your point of view, when you see Josh having the kind of year that he's having, and like I said, we've seen now through, what is this, 10 games now, right? Mm-hmm. We're 3-7?
Yep.
10 games that when the Raiders have had success, that's the formula. Do you have to, like, when you see Josh in that zone, when you see he had 24 touches today, as a receiver, you just got to be like, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to block, I'm going to do my thing, yeah. I'm going to give him his chances to go make plays and to be the engine of this offense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I think when you're, like, a smart player, like Devontae, like, for instance, Devontae come into a game, like, I'm sure he expects I'm getting 10 to 15 targets a game.
He was right in the middle, 13 today.
Okay. But at the same time, he understands that in order for him to get things done, it's football. Like, there's 10 other guys on the offense, just like you are, that have to do a part. And a big part for a guy like Devontae, for a guy like Mac, for a guy like, you know, Keelan to get off, they know that the run game has to be there, or the team can just, like, put 8 in, you know, 8 in the coverage, and then you're just running into people all day, and then you're like, ah, this, you know, this strategy is terrible, this install this week is, you know, it sucks. So, yes, you have to run the ball. Everybody knows that everybody has a part, and if we can get cooking here, we can get cooking there, and then we work beautifully.
And it's just kind of that beautiful marriage of running the ball, passing the ball. And I think you look, that's kind of a nice little microcosm for today, where today was a team win in the truest sense of the term. Offense comes through when it needs to. A Raiders defense that has had a lot of people talking about it the past month showed up when they need to, particularly Max Crosby. I mean, dude, Max Crosby played out of his mind again today.
Yep.
This dude was a machine.
He's a monster. I mean, I trained with Max as he was coming into the league, I was at Exos in Phoenix. He was at Exos. And obviously, you don't know who's who. You just see, you know, guys are physical specimens. But I remember him because he was a workhorse in the gym. He was screaming. He was yelling. He was, you know, shirt off. He was water on his face, water on his chest, all that. And he's still doing it. Shout out to Max, man. I mean, you always come up when you need, you know, when we need you the most. And he did it again today.
I'm looking at his line right here, Duffel. He goes 6 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 TFLs, 3 quarterback hits, a forced fumble, and 1 block on special teams. That's a good day, man.
That's a
good day.
That's a $200 million day, right? That's a
day that's worth every single cent that's going to hit direct deposit. But we talk about the defense, too, and everything that they did. And I think they deserve a lot of credit, especially towards the latter part of that game. And like I said, they have had a lot of people saying a lot of different things about them throughout the entirety of this year, particularly the past month. Yeah. But give them credit, man, because today, when they needed to hold up a few times, particularly in the latter part of that game, to give the Raiders a chance, to give the Raiders offense a chance, that's exactly what they did. Raiders get the ball back with just under 2 minutes left, and that's because the defense holds up.
Yep.
And you need to have that complimentary type of football to win games, especially on the road.
Yeah, 100%, man. It's a three-phase game. If all phases aren't hidden, sometimes you can win with 2 out of 3, but when 3 out of 3 are hidden, we're good. I mean, we kind of felt a little scared when our guy broke his record. He snapped his record today,
man,
with a missed field goal. But, I mean, special teams, defense, I mean, they balled out. I mean, at the end of the day, we weren't really punching it in on offense, but we were getting field goals. And like you said, we made a stop when we needed it. We went down there and we made it happen.
And I think if you really want to get nitpicky from today's game, Bryce, you look at the Raiders on that final drive before overtime. And we were all sitting in the back in our bullpen there. And I said, look, there's no reason to get crazy here, right? No reason to get wild. But at the end of the day, first and goal from the 7, can't punch it in. And so I think if you're looking at somewhere, if the Raiders score a touchdown there, we're not even talking about overtime.
No, game's over.
Right? So I think that if you're looking for something like, hey, yeah, the Raiders won, but they could be a little better in this area, it's that red zone offense again, man.
Yeah, we're struggling in the red zone.
What's the key to successful? I mean, because obviously there's a big difference between the teams that are really good in the red zone, the teams that struggle in the red zone.
Okay, who's the best team in the red zone in the NFL? It's the Tennessee Titans. You know why? Because they can run the ball down there. At the end of the day, my man's back here in the studio looking at me. Al, you know, if you can run the football, I don't know what it is. I'm a receiver. Everybody that's listening to this podcast, like, I'm a receiver, but I understand how critical the run game is for me to get off. And if we want to be able to get man-to-man on the outside for a guy like Devontae to get fades in the end zone, we have to be able to run the ball. They have to stack the box. You know, when you watch the Tennessee Titans play Green Bay, that box is packed. If you want to get the ball on the outside, the box has to be packed. How do you get the box packed? Feed Josh Jacobs. Get penetration downhill with the big hogs, and we'll be better in the red zone.
You know, it's pretty funny. You just sounded like when you were talking there? Crab. I'm a receiver. I'm not here to run the ball. I'm a receiver. You heard him. How many times you hear him say
man,
that?
Man, Crab, man. Shout out to my dog, Crab. Hey, we got to get on the golf course at some point, man.
Yeah, shout out to King Crab one time. We were talking about that offensive line, though, and I think that the big boys up front deserve a lot of credit today, guys, because the inactives come out 90 minutes before kickoff. We see Colton Miller, arguably the best offensive lineman on this Raiders roster.
Yep.
He is down today. I think my initial reaction
shock.
Was, this does not bode well for us. And look, the Broncos defense did their thing. They had moments that got to Derek. There were moments of putting sustained pressure on him.
Yep.
But that offensive line where you take Jermaine Illuminor, you shift him from right tackle to left tackle. You have the rookie Thayer Munford, who's been kind of like that jumbo set extra tight end on the right end. You make him the right tackle. It wasn't perfect, but they held up, and you cannot do any. We talk about running the ball. We talk about giving Derek time to work to Devontae. None of that happens unless the big boys hold up. So I think they deserve a ton of credit.
Hey, big credit to the big hogs. Derek, take them out to dinner. Josh, get them some watches. Devontae, set them up with massages this week because it's Thanksgiving and the big dogs need to eat.
Here's a good stat that just came through as well, Bryce. We talk about how good Derek has been in overtime, how effective he's been. He kind of has that it gene in that extra frame. Devontae Adams, 3rd overtime touchdown today. That is tied for the most in league history. A little bit of trivia. Who do you think he's tied with for most overtime touchdowns?
The most overtime touchdowns in a season or ever?
In history, total.
Most touchdowns. Overtime touchdowns?
Overtime touchdowns.
Is it like my era?
Yeah. A little before you, AFC West guy. You guys might have overlapped by maybe a year or two.
Receiver?
Running back.
Hold on.
I feel like I've given.
Texas.
Huh?
Chiefs. Is it Charles? What's his name?
No. You're getting close.
Jamal Charles?
Nope, close.
But you said the Chiefs?
I said the Chargers.
Oh, you said Chargers.
Sorry.
Oh, God, dog.
You're close. You're right
running
there.
Running back from the Chargers?
It is someone that Raiders fans do
shorty.
Not care for.
Spurls.
Nope. His buddy, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh.
I was looking at us. He's like, he knew that one.
Oh, shoot.
But it is crazy, though, where you look at kind of the names on that list, and obviously it's Devontae, it's LT. It's like,
LT's a big name.
Yeah. It's dudes that do this at a very high level and are unflappable. Like, when you were playing, like, who are the guys when, you know, overtime, two-minute drill to go win the game, that were just like the cool as a cucumber, put the ball in my hands, like, I'm really like, let's go to work, no need to worry about anything we got going on right now because I got you.
Ooh. Okay, so I have to talk about my Dallas time because
sure.
When I was in Oakland, we were terrible. I'm sorry, people. We were bad. I would say Dak was real calm, cool, and collected. Dez Bryant was the type of guy in which he was just so, like, insanely... He was, like, almost crazy because it was, like, even when he was covered, he felt like he was open. Mm. Even when, like, he wasn't doing well, he thought he was.
Yeah.
But for that reason...
Makes him great.
His confidence was so good that if you did toss him a ball, like, up in the air, even if he had a terrible game, like, he would find a way to snag it. He was a monster, man. So I would say those two. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott was a monster. But when I was with them, like, I mean, we just gave him the ball, like, 35 times a game. So he was just... Just a choo-choo train, like my man in Tennessee right now. So I would say those three guys.
Those are some good names, though, man.
Yeah,
those are some good names.
Those three guys, for sure.
I mean, we look at where we are kind of on the in the schedule now, Bryce. Raiders 3-7. Still obviously not where they wanted to be, where they anticipated to be, all that stuff.
But they're there.
But they're there.
Yep.
And I'm a firm believer in you kind of are what you earn in this league, right? Raiders have earned three wins, had a great Sunday today.
Mm-hmm.
All the same, still a pretty big mountain to climb.
Yep.
What is the importance for a group that says, hey, and you know, we're not worried about what's going to happen at the end of the season. We're not talking about postseason. We're not talking about any of that. We're trying to get a win. What is the importance of a team going on the road, division game, winning a game in overtime, handling their business, now having a chance to come back home, regroup for a couple days, and then head back on the road. Like, this feels like one of those moments where whatever happens for the rest of the season is going to happen, right? But you needed to have a good Sunday today, and that's what the Raiders got.
Yeah, you
got to
get a win, man. I mean, we were looking at maybe losing four games in a row against a division opponent. That's a big win. I mean, you need that. It feels good, especially on, like, a holiday week. Like Thanksgiving, and you're not playing on Thursday, so you're able to be here, you know, practice in the morning, then go home and, you know, have some fun with your family. It's a big win. It's tough, like, when you're at this point and it looks like the season is just going to be bad. It's 3-7, but now they have seven more games to play, and they can change it. I mean, if they figure out a way to get a new algorithm popping like they did today to come out and get a W, hard-nosed, just get it out the mud W's, and they keep winning some games, you can start to develop some confidence. There's been a lot of teams that you've seen over the course of the years, man, start off really bad, but then they end up kind of like, you know, 7-9 or, you know,
something like that.
Because they, you know, they ended the season, and then you go into the offseason feeling good. Even though you didn't go to the playoffs, you go into the offseason saying, oh, shoot, like, we won five of our last six games, or we won five of our last seven games. We have something to, like, lean on right now going into the offseason, and it doesn't feel like a crapshoot of a year that you just, like, basically wasted.
And I think a big part of this, Bryce, is, like, and you know this so much better than me, having been in locker rooms, having, you know, been part of groups that had a lot of success, part of groups that didn't have a lot of success, kind of everything in between, right? Like, it's important at this point in the season, as we record this on November 20th, like, it's good for morale just to get a W, man.
Yeah, you
it's,
need
like,
that.
JDR used to say all the time, like, it's hard to win in the NFL. You got to celebrate the good moments. You got to celebrate the times where even if it's not the prettiest win, it's a win
it's
in the
a
column.
Win,
it's
dog.
A win in the column. And I think that to have this building feel the electricity of a win, to understand like, yeah, we had a great day. Yeah, I know the season hasn't gone the way that we wanted, but yesterday was a really good day. Yesterday's an indication of what we can be.
Yep.
And we've now beat a division rival 6 games in a row.
Yep.
That's important going forward.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you want to establish dominance over the Broncos. We hate the Broncos. If you're a Raiders guy, you hate the Broncos. And I'm a Raiders guy, so I hate the Broncos. But yeah, man, a win is a win, dog. Like, I mean, every game is pretty much settled by one score, one possession. And the thing that really separates the good teams from the bad teams are the ones that can win those games. And then we talked about it before we hopped on air. We're 0-3 this season after being up 17 points in a game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in those games, we lost by like one possession. So, you know, just gotta keep figuring out how to get some dubs. We got one today. We have something to build on. Thanksgiving's coming. Macaroni and cheese and honey baked ham. I feel good. Let's get it.
Last one before we kind of hit the road here. We talk about those one score games, and that's been the bugaboo of this team all season, right?
Yeah.
Like, so much so where they've become a bit of a statistical anomaly, right? But like, the fact that this was a one-score game today, the fact that we have seen this movie so many times in 2022, Bryce, where it doesn't go the Raiders' way, the fact that they were able to finally pull one of these out, that has to feel significant for the guys in that locker room.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They're definitely happy. This is going to be a nice plane ride home. But, yeah, great win. I love it, man. Shout out to those guys for, you know, pulling that one out. They could have easily laid down. You know, we're 2-7 coming into this game. They could have easily laid down, and they did not. They fought hard. They fought through overtime, and they got the dub.
Especially, and I feel like we haven't talked about this enough, they were down 10-0 early.
Yeah.
Like, this was a legitimate definition of a comeback win on the road.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I was going to say, just the last stat before we get out of here, courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, Devontae Adams scored the game winner in overtime versus the Broncos, like we talked about. That's now his 10th touchdown of the season. Devontae becomes the 6th player in NFL history with 6 or more seasons with at least 10 touchdown catches. Get ready for these names. Joining, drumroll please, Hall of Famers, Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison, T.O., and Chris Carter.
Yeah, he's definitely first ballot.
He's good.
He's a monster. I mean, I played against Devontae in college. I played against Devontae in the NFL, and it's similar. It's similar every week.
It is. He is a beast, and today was a great day for him to be a beast to show us why Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels brought him here. Duffel, it was so nice to have you here in the building. I know we're going to have you back here in a little bit, the awkward dap of the lefty.
Yeah.
30 seconds of plugs, though. Where can the people find you and what you
can tell them? Hey, it's real simple. It's just Bryce_Butler on all apps and platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Holler at me on YouTube. Please holler at me on YouTube.
Are you good? We're trying to get those YouTube numbers up?
Yeah, we need them subscribers to go up, man. We got a lot of good content out there. Come check it out.
Attaboy. And that's what we love to see. Like I said, we're going to see you later this season. This is not the last
Niner game. Let's go.
He'll be here. He will be
here. Let's go.
Bryce will be here. I will be here. Al will be here. Our collective will be here. And the Raiders will be here, hopefully with a few more wins under the belt.
We will have a few more wins.
No lacking in enthusiasm and energy from our guy here in the studio today. So, for Eddie Pascal, the aforementioned Bryce Butler, my man Al on the ones and twos, everyone else in Silver and Black Productions, thank you for hanging out with us. Enjoy a victory Monday, Raider Nation, and we will catch you guys next week for our next episode of the Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for listening to the Fifth Quarter presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.
Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive.